Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes we ought to tell God to fill us up. You know, every praise belongs to our God. Hallelujah. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, the Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus We truly happy to have each and every one of you all on Thankful Thursday. On Thankful Thursday, we're going to ask Evangelist Sharon if she'll give us a word of prayer, if she's available, and we'll just jump right on into the lesson. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Pastor Beasley. Thank you for that selection, because every praise should be for our God. He's our healer and our deliverer all the time, for sure. No things are too big for God. 1 John 5:11-13 reads, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the saying of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for another perfect day. I want to thank you for waking me up this morning in a better mind frame, in a positive mind frame, knowing moving forward that I have no worries. You cannot create us to worry. And so I'm thankful for that today on Thankful Thursday. And I want to pray for both our pastors that he will continue to open up their eyes and their hearts and their minds spiritually, so that we can get this word out to people who are hurting and suffering and who don't know that this is the only way for eternal life. I want to pray for those who are sick and shut in, those who are bereaved, the people who don't know they need prayer, people who ask us to remember them in prayer, people who are shut in, people who cannot see the silver lining in the cloud, for those who are not in their right minds, and for those who know the Lord spiritually, I pray that you come into their lives and use their vessel for the greater good of the world. I want to pray for all the listeners that this day be a brighter day than yesterday and tomorrow, and it just gets brighter and brighter. And that way would be to become spiritual, to open up our minds, body, and hearts, and our vessels, to let the Holy Spirit in and let God in where he already abides, sit still and listen, and be obedient. Bind up anything that will come in between this broadcast, in the blood of Jesus, I pray all this, my Heavenly Father, in Christ Jesus' name. We do pray, and we are thankful. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Sharon. Off yesterday in Hebrews 9:1, but if anyone would like to testify on Thankful Thursday, anyone want to be thankful, take this opportunity to do so. Press 1, we'll let you in. All others, we're going to get ready to go right back where we were yesterday, talking about these vital points in the book of Hebrews. And they're so vital, so we need to have that as an undergirding before we really get into this book. So anyway, the studio open. Anyway. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask hallelujah. Well, if no one, well, we're just thankful for everybody maybe listening. There again, the book of Hebrews has all kinds of promises. And you don't have to go no further than Hebrews 9, and we'll read maybe the first. It's just all kinds of promises throughout the book of Hebrews, but they're for the believers and for those that understand new covenant, because it separates the old from the new. So in the book of Hebrews, the ninth chapter, and we'll read through the fifth verse. Do you have your Messenger Bible, Evangelist Sharon? Can you read
yes,
that? Okay, if you can read that Messenger Bible, that's fine. Okay, Hebrews 9 and the first five verses read thus. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinance of a divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlesticks and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. The second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had a golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with golden gold. Within was the golden pot that had, excuse me, lost my place here. The golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that filled, and the table of the covenant. And the fifth verse says, and over it the cherubim of golden shattering, the majesty of which you cannot now speak.
Amen. And in the Messenger, Hebrews 9, 1 through 5, reads as follows. It's titled A Visible Parable. If the first plane contained directions for worship and a specially designed place of worship, a large altar was set up. The lampstand, the table, and the bread of presence were placed in it. This was called the holy place. Then a curtain was stretched, and behind it, a smaller inside tent set up. This was called the Holy of Holies. In it were placed gold incense altar and gold-covered ark of the covenant, containing the gold urn of manna. Excuse me. Correct. Aaron's rod that budded the covenant, tablets, and the angel wings, shadowed mercy seat. But we don't have time to comment on these now. Amen.
Amen. You see, Christ offered a superior sacrifice. And this superior sacrifice is vital that we understand it. You understand that Christ is so much better. And that's one of the things the book of Hebrews teaches, is that the first promise had rules for the priest service. It also had a holy place. So he's talking about the one that Moses had, but then he's going to compare with Christ at right now. And the tent was set up. Matter of fact, since we're there, I'm going to go ahead on and maybe, because I want you all to see that there's a superiority here, because Christ went into the holiness of holiness right next to God and sit down. And everything that the world, everything that Moses did was a shadow of what was to happen. That's what was going on. It was a shadow of what was to happen. So that's what you see when you read that, okay, in the and again, we're talking about the superiority of Christ, because he was superior when it came to angels. In Hebrews 1, well, actually, we're not going to read all of them, but let's read Hebrews 2 and 18. I'm going to ask Pastor, she'll read it out of the King James Version. Hebrews 2 and 18. She's not available. Hebrews 2.
Good afternoon, everyone. You say Hebrews 2 and 18 from the King James. One second, I got to get my glasses here. Okay. For in that he himself has suffered, amen.
Amen. Then when he came before God as high priest to get rid of the people's sins, he would have already experienced it all himself, all the pain, all the testing, and would be able to help where help was needed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And because Jesus had experienced this, this made him superior. He was able to give the necessary help where the people needed. He had suffered everything. So he was superior to that. Also, I'm reminded that how Christ was rejected, but then the book of Hebrews always brings out the superiority of Christ, even his faithfulness. So in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 32 through 39, we'll read that. Hebrews 10, 32 through 39.
Reading from the King James. But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and affliction, and partly while ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto the perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And the messenger, it reads, remember those early days after you first saw the light? Those were the hard times, kicked around in public, targets of every kind of abuse. Some days it was you, other days your friends. If some friends went to prison, you stuck by them. If some enemies broke in and seized your goods, you let them go with a smile, knowing they couldn't touch your real treasure. Nothing they did bothered you. Nothing set you back. So don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourself then. It's still a sure thing, but you need to stick it out. Same with God's plan, so you'll be there for the promised completion. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
He urged us to remember the past, when you first learned about truth, when you first learned that, hey, you are the body of Christ. When you first learn that greater that is in you than he that's in the world. when you first learned that you are the church, not a building. When God talks about his church, he's talking about you. He's talking about me.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah.
Remember when you first learned the truth? See, and there's some people right now still haven't learned the truth. They still think you're supposed to go to church instead of being the church. He said, remember how you endured that and you know, the hardship, the pain, the folks talking about you, dogging you out?
All right.
Sometimes, brothers and sisters, struggle just to keep the word. I was talking to Evangelist Sharon on yesterday just to try to get the word how the devil bring all kinds of opposition to get you. You trying to learn the word, and they got music up live. You trying to learn the word of God, and somebody, you know, it's like always trying to pull you away from something you love because you was getting some truth. And even not just at the word they know, it can be your study time. You really want, you start getting in the word of God, and you watch the enemy find a way to come in there and you know, so, and let me tell you this right now. Be thankful. If you have a moment in time you can get into the word of God without all this interruption, be thankful for that. That's what he said. Tell me, in other words, he said, remember the past when you first learned the truth? How you had to go through all of this, but yet you remain faithful. Listen, brothers and sisters, that's the key there. Remain faithful. Don't care what's going on. You remain faithful. If they cut off your phone, you remain faithful. I know I was working, and when I look around, they'll come right at that time and want me to do something. And I tell them, I said, the place ain't burning up or it ain't flooding. I'm doing the word at noon.
All right.
But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, God wants us to remain faithful, okay? Just remain faithful. And because you're going to have a reward if you just remain faithful. I think it's over there in, because the writer explains over there in Hebrews 11, and we won't do them all, but we'll do 11 and 1. And you just read the first 7 if you want to. But in Hebrews 11 and 1, he's telling us if you remain faithful. Because, see, that's where it said. It's in faith. Everything has to operate in faith. And that's another thing the book of Hebrews is telling the readers. How Christians perhaps need to understand that this is how you have to operate, is through faith. But in Hebrews 11 and 1, would you like to read that for us, Evangelist Sharon? I mean, Pastor, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Got crossed up.
All right. Hebrews 11, 1 through 7 from the King James. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Amen.
Amen. faith in what we don't see is titled in the messenger. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. By an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It was what he believed, not what he bought, that made the difference. That's what God noticed and approved as righteous. After all, he senses that belief continues to catch our notice. By an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over and couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. By faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of a dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see and acted on what he was told. The result, his family was saved. His act of faith threw a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the righteous of the believing world. As a result, Noah became intimate with God. Amen.
Amen. You see, the author explained through this how to live by faith. And so when you read the 11th chapter, you get an illustration, I should say, an illustration. Not only should we live by it, but how to remain faithful. And he talks about faithful men. He talks about faithful women. He talks about what all happened in the history of Israel. So when you dissect this 11th chapter, that's what you're going to find from the 1st through the 40th verse. And but when he turns around over there in Hebrews 12, 1 through 17, and he gives an encouragement. Matter of fact, you can even say it's exaltation for daily living. And sometimes we need to know what it requires to live daily in this with Christ, what it means to be faithful, because you're being faithful to Christ. And remember that you don't have to be faithful to a building, to a man, to a place, or to a person, but faithful to Christ and his word. Sometimes I can't wait to get in the Word of God. And I thank God for faithfulness, because even no matter what I'm doing or how, I want to be faithful to this. I mean, I think all you guys too, y'all make sure y'all faithful. More especially Evangelist Sharon and Pastor. I thank y'all for y'all faithfulness. I know that I can count on you. That means something to me. And that means something to God. What it means to God is that his word is going to go forward. No matter what.
Yeah.
It's through your faithfulness. And I just want you to all to know, I appreciate your faithfulness. I know sometimes it's a struggle, the internet not working right, and this is going on and that's going on, but you remain faithful.
Yes, hallelujah.
If I have to stop on the side of the road, got to be faithful. That's what God honors. And so that's pretty much what one of the vital things that the book of Hebrews is teaching us, okay? And then when you go to 12, 1 through 17, you'll see that through 12, 1 through 17, well, matter of fact, you probably could go. Just go all the way through the 29th verse. Because what God shows here is that he is there's a reward through this daily living. And this section ends by comparing the old with the new. And I wanted to kind of get in there from Hebrews 12:18-29. And I know we're running over, but that's where I want to go. I want to compare the old with the new, because that's what he's doing over there in Hebrews 12:18-29. And we'll just go ahead on and read it, and we can pick it up there tomorrow. Because he includes what it means to be exalted, what it means to be faithful. But most of all, the difference between Israel being faithful and Christians today and Christians then being faithful. So if you will, Pastor Rich, you read Hebrews 12 and just read 18 through 29 for me, please.
Okay, Pastor. From the King James, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated, that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so the beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God,
yes,
the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which was written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, came better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, significant, the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God consuming fire. Amen, amen.
Amen. And the Messenger, it reads as follows, Hebrews 12:1-29. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in a place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over the story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed, though, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. In this all-out against sin, others have suffered far worse than you, to say nothing of what Jesus went through, all that bloodshed. So don't feel sorry for yourself, or have you forgotten how good parents treat children, and that God regards you as his children. My dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline, but don't be crushed by it either. It's the child he loves that he disciplines, the child he embraces. He also corrects. God is educating you, that you must never drop out. He's treating you as a dear children. This trouble, you're in isn't punishment, it's training, the normal experience of children. Only irresponsible parents lead children to fend for themselves. Would you prefer an irresponsible God? We respect our own parents for training and not spoiling us. So why not embrace God's training so we can truly live? While we were children, our parents did what they seemed best to do. Seemed best to them. But God is doing what is best for us, training us to live God's holy best. At the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. Later, of course, it pays off big time, for it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God. So don't sit around on your hands. No more dragging your feet. Clear the path for long-distance runners so no one will trip and fall, so no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. Help each other out and run for it. Work at getting along with each other and with God. Otherwise, you'll never get so much as a glimpse of God. Make sure no one gets left out of God's generosity. Keep a sharp eye out for weeds of bitter discontent. A thistle of two gone to seed can ruin a whole garden in no time. Watch out for Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. You well know how Esau later regretted that impulsive act and wanted God's blessing, but by then it was too late. Tears or no tears. Unlike your ancestors, you didn't come to Mount Zion, all that volcanic blaze and earth-shaking rumble to hear God speak. The ear-splitting words and soul-shaking message terrified them and begged him to stop. When they heard the words, if an animal touches a mountain, it's as good as dead, they were afraid to move. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. We'll pick it up there tomorrow because God will destroy whatever's in you that's not of him. He can destroy it with fire. He burns it out because he is a consuming fire. But we're going to talk from the 18th through the 29th verse on tomorrow. We'll pick it up there. Thank you all so much. Unless someone else has something they want to be thankful for, wait a minute, I'm going to slow down here. Maybe you have a scripture you want to be thankful for this week or something that God have touched you with you want to share. We're going to take a minute for that. Because all of it is vital. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No problem. We was reading yesterday, I think Hebrews 4. I have to get to it. And it kind of went tied in. Well, all guys were tied in together. And good afternoon, everyone. But verses, I want to say we had read. I don't have my notes right here in front of me. But let me just read from the Message Bible. I believe it was 4. So 14 through 16. When we was talking on yesterday, but the scripture from the Message Bible, and the way it reads, it said the highest priest who cried out, and I'm not really sure that's what it is. So if you don't mind, let me just glance back here at my notes.
it just touched my heart so yesterday when we were sharing in Hebrews and how I'm just so thankful that we're in the new. I remember us talking about the new, and we don't have to take a goat or calf or whatever they used for sacrifice back then. We don't have to do that because Christ, he is our sacrifice. And so we need to come away from that old way of living and living the new. You know, Hebrews, it was telling us that, you know, the temple now that we serve is Christ. So you got to be in Christ to see this. So Hebrews 8, let me go to Hebrews 8 because it was something in the other verse. But Hebrews 8 and verses 6 through 13, you know, because it's talking about the new sanctuary, the true sanctuary that God pitched in that man. And so beginning with the sixth verse, it said, Jesus' priestly work far surpasses what these other priests do, since he's working from a far better plan. If the first plan, the old covenant, had worked out, a second wouldn't have been needed. But we know the first was found wanting because God said, heads up, the days are coming when I'll set up a new plan for dealing with Israel and Judah. I'll throw out the old plan I set up with their ancestors. When I led them by the hand out of Egypt, they didn't keep their part of the bargain. So I looked away and let it go. This new plan I'm making with Israel isn't going to be written on paper, isn't going to be chiseled in stone. This time I'm writing out the plan in them, carving it on the lining of their hearts. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. They won't go to school to learn about me or buy a book called God in Five Easy Lessons. They'll all get to know me firsthand, the little and the big, the small and the great. They'll get to know me by being kindly forgiven, with the slate of their sins forgiven, wiped clean. So I like that scripture, and I like the fact that it's a new plan, it's a new covenant. And so then it takes me to Second Corinthians 5:17, where it says we're new now. And so that tied in a little bit with what you were bringing out yesterday, Pastor. And I just can't get enough of God's word because it keeps me on track. You know, keep me focused. It keeps me where I need to be in the Lord, you know, instead of going off doing my own thing. You know, you talk about that. Spirit, you know, it keeps me in the right spirit, in the right frame of mind, praise God, so the glory. I just can't thank God enough for the change in my life now that my eyes have been opened to the word, to the true word, you know, not someone, man or woman telling me this is, you know, standing there telling me, well, yeah, the Bible says this, it says that. No, thank God, getting there for myself. And so, I'm speaking, that's what we need to do. Get into that word. Pastor is here to guide us. And then we take what he gives us and get alone and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us also and lead us in the right path. And I just thank God for his holy word. And thanking you, Pastor, for your obedience that you just allow that the Holy Spirit just to guide you and direct you too, because we're alike in that same phase that we don't want to lead nobody astray, and we want everybody to know God's word for themselves. So thank you again, Pastor. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless. I'd just like to piggyback off of that, Pastor. I love that scripture as well, Pastor Bell, and I'm glad that you brought that out, because once you know or have a relationship with God, you know everything or the majority of the things that you did prior to opening up your spiritual eyes was all wrong. And so he said he wipes the slate clean. God has thought of everything for every day and everyone. And I just feel like that's so amazing. Amen.
Amen.
Thank both of you guys. Anyone else? Hallelujah. That was awesome. Thank you so much, Pastor. If nothing else, we'll see you all for tomorrow for the Word at Noon.